I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins win. I almost don't know what to do with myself with the Twins winning a series today. Pretty fun. I will be going to the game on Friday. There's something about like the way people interact with weather information that has never been more hysterical. You know, like, I don't know what was going on today on social media. And I, you know, the amount of attention that I pay to this, if it's not out of Chris Schaefer's mouth on this show, I just read the Twitter post or the Facebook update or whatever. Today, like, I saw posts like dangerous. What was the terminology people? There was like a weather freak out about Friday. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, once it starts raining, I guess I'll know. It's just not, it doesn't get me that fired up. Tracy Perlman is with us.
Hello.
Tracy, did you see there's some sort of catastrophic weather coming? Now, our listeners, if you're half listening to me, you're like, hey, DeRusha said there's catastrophic weather coming on Friday.
My boots are shaking. No, I've been through enough weather reports in my 40 years on this earth that I know nothing's accurate until at least 24 hours out. So I'm gonna wait a little bit longer before I, you know, batten down the hatches.
Now, Tracy used to work at Channel 4. You're a big shop manager. Now you work at the XL Energy Center.
Soon to be Grand Casino Arena.
Yeah. When can we change that over so we don't have to say both? It's kind of annoying.
September 3rd. We are in the
How
countdown.
How about a little faster? Why don't we just do it now? Why do we have to wait?
Because it's more fun this way.
No, it's annoying.
We've got signs that are changing. We're going to be painting ice. This is very exciting stuff that's happening, and we wanted to wait until we've got, like, Benson Boone will be our last show, to that sellout show on the 25th. Of this month, 22nd of this month is our last show. And then as soon as Benson is done, we've got a week. We're going to flip the arena, flip all the signs. And then Grand Casino Arena opens on the 3rd officially. Jason Aldean is coming in.
Right, Stop it. This is not, what are you doing? I just gave you an opening and you just.
You set me up. I'm going to knock it out of the park.
I guess.
This is what they pay me those big bucks for.
I just think they should, they announced it and they should change it because it's weird. Where you're like, if you're giving away tickets to something or you're looking at a concert and you're like, well, it's going to be at the, I guess
no,
it is.
I will admit it is confusing. Like, we announced Adam Sandler coming and you have to say at Grand Casino Arena, currently called XL Energy.
I know.
Center.
Yeah. Very strange.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this just for you.
Okay.
For the next month, you can call it Grand Casino Arena.
Hey.
You can do it.
I appreciate it. Thank
you're welcome.
You.
You're
what, a, what a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift indeed.
For you, the world.
Yeah? Wow. Thank you.
Twins win and Grand Casino Arena.
Do you wish, so I found like the weather alert, like bring me the news, says rising threat of significant storms. And you're like, what is an insignificant storm?
Just a heavy dew. Just
80 mile per hour winds possible.
Now, didn't the National Weather Service change some of their wording earlier this year?
Probably.
I think they did. I vaguely am remembering a story we did, but I don't remember that because, again, I only listen to the headline.
Right. Like all of us. None of us are. Honestly, have we ever been dumber? You know, we're just like half paying attention to everything.
Right. Here's the secret. As a news producer, the 3 minutes during the forecast was the only time I didn't have to pay attention.
Right,
I was in charge of those words.
Yes, same as
that
the
was
news
my
anchor.
Time. Yeah, that was my time to make sure like sports was getting ready.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you and I had to talk about something, that's when we were chatting. That's when you're running to the bathroom. So I really never paid attention during weather until I heard the chime because the 7-day was up. And we all know people only care about the 7-day.
Correct. This is one of the dirty secrets, and it used to drive the weather people so mad when I was on the morning show. But they did weather on the morning news. At first, like when I started on the morning news, I got to say some stuff. And then, like, the consultants came in, and they're like, you know what people really want? Traffic and weather. And we're like, what if we did that, and you cut down on the other stuff?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, on the news part of the newscast?
Right. And the jokes. They wanted less of the jokes.
Oh, and who wants less jokes?
Less of me ranting about things. But, like, that, that was my value add, I thought.
That's where we found the most value out of you. And then making a good question joke.
But now, it's a lot of weather. And it was a good time for me to like go make my coffee. Like I go make coffee.
Fix your makeup.
Yeah. And so then I come home and Alyssa would be like, oh, did you hear about this in the weather? I'd be like, no. Nope. She's like, they literally did it 15 times while you were at work.
And the weather watcher's red, so that's all I needed
that's
to know,
I
that
need.
Warmer weather was ahead.
Well, there is a thing. So this is what gets you. Like, this is the severe storm risk on Friday out of the Grand Forks weather office. And
so
they're like,
we can't even see what's going to happen in the Twin Cities. I'm assuming based on the map, the Twin Cities are an isolated. So we have a 1 out of 5 chance down here.
I don't know.
People in Brainerd, you're right on the border of isolated to scattered. So you may be something. Fargo, though, number 3, Fargo is scattered to numerous severe storm risks. So good luck,
it's
Fargo.
Fine. I'll see you on Friday.
Moorhead,
you know what I mean? Like.
Blessings to you. Yeah.
Forget it. Tracy Perlman is with us. The Minnesota Star Tribune, fresh off of their story on like the best sites in Minnesota, has come up with the best smells.
Who asked for this list?
The best smells in Minnesota?
I've never.
The best. Here is the headline. Smell that? Our good scents guide to the best smelling places in Minnesota.
This has got to be a series, right? Because they did best views. We joked about
that. They did
that,
the best views.
So Dan, now it's the best smelling thing.
Best things to touch is coming next week.
You know it is.
Last, I guess, like, I'm more concerned about areas of Minnesota that don't smell good.
Yeah,
you know?
I have some, I do, if we can go over the list, I have some thoughts.
Go ahead. Where do you want to start? The Arboretum?
Okay.
I think that
Arboretum,
was the
Arboretum, great, check, done. Fine. Obviously, beautiful flowers, we love outside.
Yep.
The State Fair, we know I love the State Fair. No, the State Fair does not smell good. I don't care who you are. If you're a farmer, we all know manure, hay, does not smell great. Barns, no.
That is a preposterous answer. The State Fair smells
right.
good.
Stupid. We get it. It's coming up.
Right. Dumb answer.
Yeah. No. Mall of America. No, I've never walked into the mall and thought, you know what smells great? The chlorine coming off the log ride. No. The only thing, and I didn't see it on the list over my quick scan, is Cinnabon.
Yeah, Cinnabon does smell good.
But it's on there. Sears isn't open
it's
anymore.
On there.
So now.
No, it's.
Yeah.
Are you sure? There's no Cinnabon at the Mall of America?
No. Sears.
Oh,
it was
Sears.
Outside of Sears.
Oh, yeah.
Sears was closed.
Yeah,
yes. R.I.P.
So if you're at the State Fair and you stick your head in Sweet Martha's window, maybe?
Maybe.
That's the
you've
only
got
good
all
smell
the
there?
First of all, if we're at Sweet Martha's, we know you guys are right there. So I might be getting a little whiff of CCO radio.
Right.
I might be getting a whiff of the...
Yeah.
Are you saying that's problematic? I don't know.
I don't know.
What you're trying to say.
It depends what day of the fair it is.
Yeah.
We all know. Everything
I mean, they're calling out the smell of clean, fresh paper at the mall's Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And they called it's so pleasurable to some people.
No,
first
I do
of all,
love
that's not even unique.
Smell.
That's not even unique to the mall. Stupid.
No. And whoever said the smell of this place is magical lies.
That is what
there's
someone...
There's no smell. The mall should not have a smell. I don't want smells when I'm buying clothes, when I'm eating at restaurants. I want the things to smell like how they should smell.
This is from a TikTok where someone was just clearly just trolling for views, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and you know who that was posted by? Mall of America.
The Mall of America, of course.
Outrageous. Well, text him with the best smell. Actually, don't. I don't care. I don't care what you guys think is the best smelling thing in Minnesota.
Yeah. I will give a props to Candyland, because who doesn't love sugar and butter and fresh popcorn
that caramel.
But again,
popcorn.
I walk into an establishment, it should match the expectation. Silly. I want to smell Candyland before I walk in, all in on that being an excellent place that smells.
All right, Tracy Perlman, who always has smelled great, as far as I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know that I've ever like really taken a full-on whiff, but if you smelled disgusting, I would have noticed, I guess. So let's give
you
the benefit.
And just like you can call out the arena that I work at, you can tell me if I don't smell pleasant if we're ever together.
Very good. I will. 419. Drive time back in just a minute.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, given a choice, I'd rather smell Malto meal or like the, you know, the honey bunches of oats smell like they have in Northfield. They got the cereal plant there. That's on the list. I would prefer to smell that than, well, like they have Penzi's spices. Now, I like Penzi's spices, but like, it doesn't smell like anything. You go in there, it just like they've got, there's like 100 or 200 spices.
It's too much. And it's like going to a farmer's market. Sometimes things are going to smell lovely, a fresh herb, some baked bread, but not always.
No. Usually it's the bad stuff. It's the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken a dance class in your life?
Fun fact, Jason, I started dancing when I was 2.
Oh, you did?
I was on the varsity dance team through high school. And I've taken dance classes for over 20 years. Yeah.
So Alyssa and I took a dance class when we first got married, before we had kids, back when the romance and the love was still alive.
Yeah.
We
joints were loose and young. And
We went to a community college, like adult education thing.
Yeah.
And took like a ballroom dancing class. And all I remember is learning the cha-cha to Carlos Santana's
Smooth?
Yes, to Smooth. Which whenever I hear Smooth now on the radio, which by the way, that song you can hear on the Oldies channel because
apparently
I'm that many years old. But we took a cha-cha. Well, it wasn't a cha-cha class, but they taught us. I also like just saying cha-cha. Dan, have you ever taken a dance class?
I'll give you 3 opportunities to guess, and the first 2 won't count.
Well, I don't know. Like, what about during?
Yes, absolutely, and full show.
What about during like PE class?
No.
Square
dance?
You have
to do like a line
Actually, you know,
dance?
Now that you mention it, I think junior high, we probably had to do some sort of square dance nonsense. Yeah.
What about like there wasn't like line dances like when you go to like a wedding or a bar bat mitzvah?
Oh, there were. I just didn't participate in any of
them. No Macarena for Dan Cook.
No. No. That would not have ended well for anyone.
It tells you know exactly what to do. That's the cha-cha slide. They tell you exactly what to do.
They can tell me. My ability to execute it is a whole other matter.
That's too bad.
It's lack of coordination in general. I don't want to hurt anybody.
No one's taking dance classes anymore because it's all on social media. People are learning how to dance like by slowing down TikToks.
Yeah, but are those real dances or are you just like... There's a lot like... Yeah. Like TikTok dances, I have a little cousin who's very into it and she was like, you have a verified Twitter account and Facebook account. Or so if I do a dance with you and then my friends see that you're verified, that'll be super cool. And I was like, sure, you live in Philadelphia, but let's do this. So I learned a TikTok dance with and did it with her. And it was a lot of like hands up, hands down. You swivel your hips. You like do finger guns. You know, all of a sudden you're doing like the hand jive. And like, it's not a real dance. I think it's way cooler when you're on a dance floor and somebody starts doing like a West Coast swing, or they, you know, they're just somewhat coordinated together versus like doing the Dougie.
Yeah. I did find out the other day that my youngest, Sam, and like three or four of his knucklehead friends have like a TikTok account where they post dances. And like, what is this? Is this what, I mean...
Are they good?
No. They are certainly not. And they all have these references where like every day when I wake up and feel the incredible pain between two of the discs in my spine, I am reminded that I am 50. And then when I go look at my 17-year-old's TikTok, I am reminded that I may be 150 because I have no idea what they're talking about.
And I also don't know like what the songs are. But like I can do that hot to go dance that I see people do.
Oh, you can do that dance. I've never.
It's like the YMCA.
Oh.
You just H, you make an O, T, T, O, G. That's the harder one where you make the O and then you drop it, O. So it's really just the YMCA with different letters.
Tracy Perlman is with us. You can watch us on the WCCO Radio YouTube channel. So State Fair coming. I'm always reminded of like the beautiful benches around the state fair that people have dedicated to a loved one very often, somebody who loved the fair. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dan sent me this story today. Urinal dedication becomes a reality for a historical society volunteer. A unique dedication took place at the Clark County Historical Society, and this is a plaque above a urinal in a first floor men's bathroom to honor the archivist and outreach director of said historical society. He said he was trying to raise money on his birthday, and he told people that their contributions would help place a plaque above a urinal, a dream that has now been realized.
I just don't know what I'm going to get you for your birthday now that the secret's out.
A lot of people are going to read that plaque. I'm just saying.
You know what? What else are you going to do? Well, I shouldn't say. I don't know what else you would do, but it's right there. He looks so proud of it in the photo.
It's truly amazing. This Clark County, is this Ohio? Is that where this is? Clark County, Ohio. Yeah, it just got me, like, honestly, I don't know that I want a bench. Like,
I would love a state fair bench. I'm actually very sad. They have too many state fair benches, so now they're moving to, like, a different type of plaque.
Right.
You can't get a state fair bench anymore.
I think a urinal would be kind of cool, but I'm not sure, like, where I would. Maybe, like, at an arena. Like, at the Grand Casino Arena.
Yes. I will work on that. You need a booth at a restaurant or like a special bar stool.
That would be good. All right. Yeah. We'll work on this. What would you want? This is everyone's homework assignment for next week. What would you want like dedicated to you? All right.
Okay.
You sit on that one.
I'm going to work on it.
Or stand by it, whatever the case may be. Tracy, thank you. Have a great week.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Tracy Perlman joins us once a week. Always love checking in with her. It is 4:31. Back to school is right around the corner. And Mall of America does a survey every year to try to find out, all right, what's going on? With the economy, uncertainty, all of this, I wondered what would be going on. We'll check in. Are you going to spend more or less? And I also think these numbers are just crazy. We'll do that next.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you going to spend more or less on back-to-school shopping this year? The economy is top of mind, according to a new survey from Mall of America. And I'm always interested in this. I mean, for me, Jill Renslow from Mall of America, who joins us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jill, it's good to visit with you.
Hello, it's great to connect with you. It's all things back to school.
Well, I'm sending two kids off to college, one to NYU in New York City, one to USC in LA. And so I believe my back to school spending is approximately $200,000. That's what I don't know. I don't know where that falls on your survey, but it is. Oof. The college spend is different from buying the notebooks and updating the fashion. That's for sure.
Oh, I can relate. I have a sophomore and a junior in college. So, yes, I think our spending is a little bit outside of the survey range.
Jill, how rich are we going to be when those kids are when we're not helping with tuition? It's just going to be game changing. I can't even imagine it.
I hope it comes full circle and they know that who they need to support when they make it big someday.
Yes. Oh, those kids are going to be changing adult diapers as far as I'm concerned. That's how that's going to go. All right. So you guys survey, you do this survey every year. I am fascinated with sort of the fact that the economy, we've seen people pulling back on spending throughout the economy. The impact of tariffs hasn't quite hit yet, but I think the fear and the uncertainty has affected so many different areas. What are you seeing when you ask people about what they're thinking for back to school shopping?
Yeah, we're not surprised that people are looking for deals. You know, they're really being smart with their budgets. They're spreading their dollars out, starting early, getting some of the supplies, and then adding in the essentials from a fashion perspective, and then even wait until the kids go back to school, especially for the elementary, middle school, and high schoolers, to then add to their wardrobe as they go. So spreading out that spending is important, looking for a lot of deals. But, you know, 33% of people are planning to spend about the same amount as last year. There's another 30% that they're just not sure yet based on what they're going to be spending. But 60% are definitely tightening their budgets. So it's not, you know, not a surprise based on where the economy is. But we all know that we want to get those essentials for the kids and also, you know, those key items like the backpack and new shoes and some jeans and leggings and things like that. So making sure they have what they need, but just being smart this year.
I'm always interested, you know, back to school shopping has really changed from just checking off the list that the school sends out. It has become like a vacation touch point, a family moment. How does that sort of manifest itself as far as whether people plan on coming in person, which feels a little more in the spirit of like, I don't know, picking out that backpack with your daughter or something like that, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a tradition around back to school shopping. I mean, if you look back in the days, it was exciting to go with mom and dad or with grandma and grandpa to be able to get some of those special things from back to school. And it's more than just the shopping. It is truly a tradition where you can go out and have lunch and maybe go do some rides or some fun things. Yeah. That's why we love Mall of America, because 70% of people combine shopping with dining and entertainment attractions. It's really that outing that the kids and families look forward to. And so we love to be able to host families during the back-to-school season.
The survey found that 95% plan to do at least some of their shopping in person this year. 40% say they'll shop entirely in person. Did you survey people who are shopping at the mall? Or was it? I mean, that seems like such a high number.
It is a high number. I mean, it's through our social channels. So, yeah, a lot of them are fans.
They're mall fans. Right.
Yes. Okay. So it's skewed a little bit as far as from a mall perspective.
Sure.
But recognizing we wanted to see where our shoppers were at and how we could enhance their shopping experience for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I do think. Do you remember like what you would get excited to pick out when you were doing back to school back when you were a kid?
Okay, way back in the dinosaur ages, as my kids would tell me when I went to school, You know, I was excited about, you know, the Trapper Keepers. You always wanted to get the new design or the lunchbox or just the colorful notebooks. So you had the matching folders and notebooks and all those fun things. But it's definitely evolved. And we're seeing the big trend this year is the keychains that you hook on your backpacks. And it's at all different levels, whether they hook them on their book bags or backpacks, their fanny packs, whatever that is. There's a lot of different keychains to really let people kind of customize their look for the season.
So is this like the
really affordable,
like the Labubu? Is that
Labubu? Yeah.
So it's those kind of
one item, but yeah, they're all over the place. And what I love is they're all at different price points. So really, it's something that everybody can afford.
That is cool. I think that personalization and customization, I mean, that's what I remember picking out the lunchbox, like the lunchbox, the backpack, and the Trapper Keeper. For sure it was the Trapper Keeper.
We're aging ourselves with the Trapper Keeper. But
do they
also
not do that anymore? Like, what is I guess not. Like, I don't know. Kids aren't, like, allowed to carry around the backpack as much, right? So that sort of changed. Maybe that changed the Trapper Keeper game. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, as far as it's all the different essentials. But what I love is just that the kids, you know, can get a chance to get some of those essentials early on from some of the big box retailers and then take their time in getting some of those fun items. And shoes are a big thing. So when
that was big for me, too.
It's supplies and it's shoes. And the number one brand that people bring up is Nike, of course. There's so many options out there. And to customize your shoes is super cool now, too. There's so many brands that are allowing you to either personalize it with your name, your athletic number. You know, if you're in sports, you can put that in your shoes now. You can color select. So it's really cool create your own style.
You know, when I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to get, like, the good Nikes. You know, you can get, like, the cheaper Nikes or the good Nikes. But I remember... Do you remember the kangaroos, like the ruse with like the little Velcro and like the little pouch on the shoe? And I just thought this was the coolest thing ever. And then you come to school and you're like, well, this was cool like 3 years ago. Everyone's looking at you like, what are you doing? But that was sort of my childhood. It was still exciting. You were like, I don't know. I wasn't sad that I couldn't get the fancy Nike stuff. But now, like, to be able to customize with your number, your like school colors or something, that's pretty, pretty sick.
It is very cool. So, I mean, beyond shopping, I do want to highlight we're doing some really cool things, recognizing people are having some budget challenges this back to school season. So we're giving $10,000 of gift cards away during the back to school season. And this starts next week on our birthday. Believe it or not, Mall of America is turning 33 years old next week on August 11th. And that's when we're kicking off our back to school $10,000 gift card giveaway. So all you need to do is come to the mall. You come to the north side, you scan our app on your phone to see if you're a winner, and we're giving away thousands and thousands of dollars. So it's a really easy way to get a kickstart in your back-to-school shopping.
Pretty cool. Very fun. Hopefully people have a great back-to-school season. I know lots of schools. Minnesota, we start late, but all around the country, I know my sister is a teacher, and she's back to school this week. So, youch. Like, here we go. Here we go.
I know. It's warm outside, and it's hard to get people back to school because they all wear shorts and T-shirts and not their first back-to-school day outfit. But I'm sure it'll get cold enough soon enough here in Minnesota.
Indeed. Indeed. Very good stuff. Jill Renzo from Mall of America. We appreciate it. Thanks, Jill.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. Back to school. Get going. In just a minute, we messed around with AI a little bit today. I'm not sure I don't know. I don't know about our robot overlords. And also, I don't know if I can say overlords. So we'll try that when we come back. So our guy Skip, who does all of the, like, the big voice guy stuff and all the production, the commercials and everything for the station, Skip got access to a new AI tool. And he emails me today. He's like, we got access to a new toy. It's an AI, a music generating AI. And so he asked the AI to make a song for a foodie radio host named Jason DeRussia, who hosts a segment called DeRussia Eats. Now, I sent you two versions because then there was an updated version.
I've got them both.
All right. So the first version is, well, let's say it just wasn't as kind of hard charging as we were hoping.
Rashid's, taste the finest treats. Oh, from caviar, canapes to truffle risotto nights.
Oh,
he'll guide you through luxury bites. Ooh, so refined. Rashid's.
I mean, you can see how they got there.
Sure. Now, first of all, I don't know how much this costs the company for us to be able to have access to it.
Who cares?
Not my money.
Yeah, it's not our money.
It's better than Mini Lee, right? It's better than that.
I don't know. I think that's a fine company that does wonderful
great,
work.
Great
for
company.
Yes.
All right, so we asked it to maybe give us a little more of a rock edge.
Rise up, taste the legend. Jason D. Russia is the hero of meats. From sizzling steaks to gourmet treats, he conquers taste with every feast. Jason D. Russia eats.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Did it call me the hero of meats?
I don't know. Let's listen to it again.
There was. Rise up, taste the legend. Jason D. Russia is the hero of meats.
Exactly what it says, yeah.
Steaks,
yeah.
The gourmet treats, he conquers taste with every feast. Jason D. Russia.
Wait.
Eats.
Yeah, that's remember.
It's like a really bad Metallica cover band came up with the jingle.
That's so good. Remarkable, right? You think
when you start to think about that, this is just a computer program generating this.
But like, how many awful, like local TV ad commercial jingles are we on the precipice of hearing? It's going to be a new era.
It
like,
really
is. I sort of miss the cheesy jingle. I like a good jingle.
I know you do.
I mean, I'm the same guy who has a website. I have an app on my phone, in fact.
Yes, you do.
Where you can search every TV news theme song from every station, like back to the 50s. So I understand, like, I have a sickness. I am screwed up.
No, that's your nerdiness that you get to nerd out on, and nobody can judge you for that.
I do love a theme song.
Yeah.
Uncertain on that.
Well, I know which of the two I would vote for.
Well, yeah,
for sure.
The rock one is fantastic.
It's so horrible, it's brilliant.
In the break, I was telling Dan about how I saw a recipe in a cocktail website for a olive oil washed martini. So to do this, you have to take a bottle of vodka and like have it sit in olive oil. You know, you put olive oil in there and mix it up. So maybe and of course I did this.
Yeah, of course you did.
And I spent like 2 hours this morning trying to strain olive oil out of this vodka. This martini better be good.
It better be really good.
I mean, what is the theme song for that sort of insanity? Probably the first one.
Yeah, no, that's much more of the first one. The lounge sound, yeah, for sure.
Local news is coming up. We're going to talk about increased security. It's about time at the state capitol. That's in D Rush Hour next.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.